Bright Community Podcast listeners, I think we're down to the most faithful of the faithful at this point. So, let me start by trying to review a couple articles that I really found of interest. These are primarily palliative care in nature. So I think before there was an excerpt from a clinical discussion with nurses that, well, let's just say we're still working out some of the technical details of the podcast. So the three articles I think are of interest all come from Handles. In March, there's an article reviewing the effect of on surrogates of making treatment decisions for others. There is a that was by Drs. Wendler and Ridd. There is an article about by Dr. Davidoff about what musicians can teach doctors, which I found fascinating. And then recently, there is a article about the determinants of medical expenditures in the last 6 months of life that appeared in Annals in February. It was accompanied by an editorial as well. And so viewing these three articles together, I thought would be of some interest. So I guess first, I thought that the article on determinants of medical expenditures in the last 6 months of life was really interesting. One of the very interesting things that I found about this was that despite what I think would be sort of common sense, there was no association between Medicare expenditures and advanced directives or discussion of end-of-life preferences. And despite the fact that patients with a living will, 92% had a preference for comfort-focused care. I thought that was just fascinating. What a interesting finding, and what was associated with increased medical expenditure was more hospital beds, urban setting, and minority ethnicity. So I think a lot of the focus that we have on living wills and end-of-life planning is good. Certainly having meaningful discussions with your family, because I think oftentimes people have don't have meaningful discussions with their family about end-of-life issues or sometimes other issues as well. But those discussions didn't seem to correlate with what actually happened in terms of end-of-life planning. So I thought that was very, very interesting. And I'm not sure what that means for us as clinicians, but I do think that oftentimes the living will kind of gets thrown out the window, particularly, at least where I'm at in Pennsylvania, a lot of them are worded. If I'm in a terminal state, and that's really, I think, for the people filling out the will and for the family, it can often be different things. And so I think oftentimes the living will kind of gets thrown out the window, so to speak. And prior discussions are either not had with the family, kind of not, or at least aren't recalled, or maybe sometimes ignored. I'm not sure. I think this has implications on if we're going to try to give patients and families the care that they need at the end of life. I'm not sure pursuing living wills is necessarily going to be the answer, at least based on this study. And I thought interesting in the editorial too, I think what really we need is a step up in sort of an approach to end-of-life care from the medical team, and also the approach to enhance communication skills. So I think just briefly in the editorial written by J. Randall Curtis and Ruth Engelberg, from Washington, they said to leave dying patients and their loved ones to struggle with these difficult decisions without such support is an abandonment of professional responsibility. And I think that that's really the case, that oftentimes we sort of leave families to make these decisions without a lot of support. They also say communicating and providing recommendations does not guarantee that patients and families will follow the clinician's advice, but avoiding such communication increases the likelihood of poor end-of-life decision-making. Again, I couldn't agree more, and I think that there's, you know, a chance of harm with this intensive life-sustaining treatment that really doesn't help our patients. The other article, which I think then kind of goes hand in hand, is a review on the effect of surrogate decision makers in making these treatment decisions, which is described as having a negative impact in at least a third, which lasts for months or years, and was described as basically as stressful as having your house burned down. And so I think that these stress levels were extraordinarily high. And they were typically patients and families or family members really had struggled with the idea that they weren't following their loved one's advice. I think the other thing that I think quite came out here that I sometimes find is that families feel that they're causing the patient's death. So families that felt that they were following the patient's wishes felt better than those who didn't or weren't sure. That makes sense. And that would seem to imply, you know, promoting more conversations, but it doesn't seem that the conversations necessarily lead to different care at the end of life, and perhaps it's we need all three. Maybe we need the living will, the conversations with the family, and the communication and skill of the medical team. So I think that, you know, that they also, so I guess really, to what degree would shared decision-making perhaps take some of the burden off the family that they in following, you know, medical advice is unsure, unclear. So a lot of uncertainty in this area. And the last is music lessons. And I thought this was really interesting about the parallels between musical training and physician training. And so often I think it's really true that practice of medicine is an art. And I tried to think about it, and I think maybe in terms of what we do, it's more like a conductor of an orchestra, because it's difficult to practice it without having an orchestra in front of you. And so that's one of the analogies I've been sort of having in my head. But certainly, I mean, I've benefited from coaching myself, or being coached, rather. I think the idea of thinking of the patient interaction and what providers do as a performance is very valuable, not in the sense that it is not real, but in the sense that it's authentic. And I think also the idea of the healthcare as a teamwork, as a band or ensemble or orchestra, I think is very attractive as well. And then I also thought that the thoughts about specialization are interesting. So I just thought that the whole piece was rather helpful. So a rather short podcast, but hopefully good audio. So for all the podcast listeners, if you have any questions or comments, I can be reached at dan.valancius, VALANCIUS, @gmail.com. Thank you.